I thank you for the privilege of speaking to you in the name of God, divine mystery, Savior, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Godspeed the year of Jubilee, the wide world o'er, when from their galling chains set free, the oppressed shall vilely bend the knee and wear the yoke of tyranny like brutes no more. That year will come and freedom's reign to man his plundered fights again restore. Godspeed the day when human blood shall cease to flow, in every clime be understood the claims of human brotherhood, and each return for evil good, not blow for blow. That day will come all feuds to end and change into a faithful friend each foe. Godspeed the hour, the glorious hour, when none on earth shall exercise a lordly power, nor in a tyrant's presence cower, but all to manhood's stature tower by equal birth. That hour will come to each to all, and from his prison house the thrall go forth. Until that year, day, hour arrive, with head and heart and hand I'll strive to break the rod and rend the gyve, the spoiler of his prey deprive, so witness heaven. And never from my chosen post, whate'er the peril or the cost, be driven. This is the high and continuously ringing out to us conclusion of Frederick Douglass's address given on July 5th, 1852, upon which occasion he was invited to address the citizens of his hometown, Rochester, New York. Whatever the expectations of his audience on that 76th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, Douglass used that occasion not to celebrate the nation's triumphs, but to remind all of its continuing enslavement of millions of people. As we come to another Independence Day, even in these ever-challenging times here and across the world, these words ring out loudly for our attention, along with our faithful and committed work to dismantle racism everywhere it continues to exist. In our hearts, lives, actions, houses of worship, neighborhoods, voting booths, politics, country, on our streets. In these days, in particular, we have seen and continue to see over and over the glaring inequities in all areas of our common life that still keep our Black, Brown, Asian, LGBTQ plus siblings from living the just, merciful, and equitable lives that we claim as our right. As the United States celebrates Independence Day in the midst of calls for systemic reforms, and as voting and protest rights are being tightened based upon false narratives perpetuated as truth by white supremacists, as critical race theory is met with cries that racism does not exist in this country, and homicides and suicides continuously rise, I turned this week to reading again Douglass's address 169 years ago, What to the Slave is the 4th of July. Douglass's courageous address continues today to ask us to consider this country's long history of denying equal rights to Black people, and indeed to all those beautifully diverse children of God who at the hand of white privilege and supremacy live within systems to this day that deny their right to equality and justice, to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As I look to our readings today, particularly our text from Ezekiel, I wonder how we are to summon our courage so that we might hear God's continuing call to us to be proclaimers and receivers of proclamation above the societal noise of what call and power look like. What a pity, Annie Dillard wrote, that so hard on the heels of Christ become the Christians. As Andrew Foster Connor writes in his commentary on Ezekiel, reading the call of Ezekiel, one feels the same sort of disappointment. The first chapter opens with a stormy wind, flashing fire, four-faced beasts seated on omnidirectional chariots, and a heavenly throne hosting the glory of the Lord. Next to this backdrop, Ezekiel hardly seems to warrant the title prophet. Too fearful, too weak, or too in shock to stand up on his own two feet, Ezekiel, like the church so often, is powerless to do much of anything, much less answer this call from God. On the one hand, Ezekiel's mortal self can serve to comfort those of us who are the church today in the midst of the deep challenges and societal upheavals. It is God's voice that gives needed breath and spirit to Ezekiel to be able to stand up on his own two feet, receive this difficult call, and follow through on it. If God can give strength to Ezekiel during one of the most difficult periods in the life of Israel, then God can give strength to us. God can give strength to the church, no matter how ill-equipped we might think we are, to respond to the call to proclaim justice, mercy, equity, and freedom for all God's children. Connors went on to point out that Christians claim that the encounter with God is at the root of our worship. Yet the evidence shows that many of us are challenged to make time, even on Sunday, to show up for that encounter in person or at home in our slippers. There is a host of other activities competing for our time and our energy. Worship has become another scheduled activity among many. Ezekiel's testimony serves as a cautionary reminder that at the heart of the church's life is not a set of activities, but an encounter with the holy. An encounter that ought to knock us off our feet and leave us there until God gives us the strength to respond. Out of that encounter comes a call. Again, God's choice of Ezekiel is rather baffling. Ezekiel is to go to the people of Israel, a nation of rebels, and say whatever God tells him to say. The enormity of the task, sending one person to speak to a nation, stands in stark contrast to the limitations of Ezekiel, who we are reminded more than once is simply another mortal like us. As if the call itself were not intimidating enough, Yahweh goes on to say that it is likely that the people will not receive this message favorably, since they are impudent and stubborn, verse 4. Connors points out that the church can stand in two places in this text from Ezekiel. The church can stand as proclaimer and as receiver of proclamation, and neither is exclusive of the other. There are times when we, the church, find ourselves in both places. As proclaimer, we receive courage from this reading as a church, already limping from our various wounds. God has chosen to send the church, to send us, always struggling with the scarcity of whatever it is we think we have to answer God's call. God still calls us to say to the nation, thus says the Lord God. According to Ezekiel, this is really all we ever need to know. On those occasions when the church does make a witness in the public square, when we dare to step out in faith to speak God's love into the evil systems of fear, hatred, and power that threaten so many, the proclamations of God's call to love, mercy, equity, justice rarely seem to make much of a difference. The church has lost the political weight it used to wield. And while this observation may be correct on a number of levels, Ezekiel would call them irrelevant. We, the church, is sent to say whatever God instructs us to say. Whether they hear or refuse to hear is beside the point. The role of the proclaimer, according to Ezekiel, is measured not by results, but by whether or not we deliver the message by our words, by our witness. And the church does not always get to embody the role of proclaimer. Sometimes we have been and are the ones in dire need of proclamation. Sometimes we're the impudent and stubborn rebels who are not likely to receive God's message well. For those standing in need of proclamation, God sends not just the message, but also the messenger. We are so often used to receiving the message from the lectern as the word of God is read, and accustomed to the word of God embodied in Jesus of Nazareth. So less often do we imagine that God's word is embodied in the lives of fellow imperfect human beings, and yet there it is. Every day we see it. Every day we hear it. Begging our proclamation or reception of God's word for the building of that kingdom, where all are free and living within the justice that comes from God's extravagant love, shared by those God calls to receive it and proclaim it. As we celebrate freedom this day and give thanks for those who, representing the beauty of God's diverse humanity, fought for it and gave their lives for it, let us remember that the United States of America is an ideal not yet achieved. I pray we may open our lives to receive the proclamation of God's holy call, to love boldly and proclaim without excuse that this call to freedom and justice is not only for some. It is meant for all God's beloved children. An ideal that must be proclaimed, must be lived, and must be witnessed to until we attain the ideal we proclaim. May Frederick Douglass's courageous address one day be truth for all through us. Godspeed the year of Jubilee, the wide world o'er, when from their galling chains set free, the oppressed shall vilely bend the knee and wear the yoke of tyranny like brutes no more. That year will come and freedom's reign to man his plundered fights again restore. Godspeed the day when human blood shall cease to flow. In every clime be understood the claims of human brotherhood, and each return for evil good, not blow for blow. That day will come all feuds to end, and change into a faithful friend each foe. Godspeed the hour, the glorious hour, when none on earth shall exercise a lordly power, nor in a tyrant's presence cower. But all to manhood's stature tower by equal birth. That hour will come to each to all, and from his prison house the thrall go forth. Until that year, day, hour arrive, with head and heart and hand will strive to break the rod and rend the gyve, the spoiler of his prey deprive, so witness heaven. And never from my chosen post, whate'er the peril or the cost, be driven.